The film The Manchurian Candidate was released in 1962. Since then, the psychological thriller about communism, brainwashing, and political corruption has become a Cold War classic. A remake of the film will be released tomorrow, starring Denzel Washington, Meryl Streep, and Liev Schreiber. The new version has the same structure, plotline, and essentially the same characters. And much as the 1962 original played on the fears of its time, the new version attempts to do the same. The communist villains from the original have been replaced by a politically ambitious global corporation, the dark force behind nefarious, mind-altering technology.
Somebody got into our heads with big steel-toed boots, cable cutters and a chainsaw, and they went to town. Neurons got exposed and circuits got rewired. Our brain cells got obliterated, Raymond. Please.
You need to get help, Ben.
Jonathan Demme is the director of the new Manchurian Candidate. A big fan of the original, he was at first apprehensive about updating such a classic.
I got a phone call from my agent who said, Jonathan, great news. I'm going to send you the script for Denzel's next movie. And my spirit soared. And I said, what is it? My agent said, well, it's a remake of The Manchurian Candidate. And my heart sank at the time because I thought that just intuitively that Manchurian Candidate was not only such a unique American movie, but a movie that was probably uniquely wed to the moment that it came out. So with my limited imagination, I didn't know how on earth they could somehow do a new version of it. I read it, of course. It was Denzel Washington. And by the time I reached page 4 or 5, I felt like I was reading an original screenplay that was as vital to the moment as anything imaginable. And I got very, very excited and said, you know, yes, please. I want to do this very badly.
As you developed the characters, I'm particularly interested in the character of Eleanor Shaw and how you had to move her forward. And when played by Angela Lansbury, it was at a time when there were not a lot of women in power. You didn't see women in the Senate. You didn't see women serving in the Supreme Court. You didn't see women in many boardrooms. Mm-hmm. And so that added a certain dimension to her character. How did Eleanor Shaw need to change to accommodate your vision in your film?
Well, I think that one of the really terrific things that really made me go, okay, wait, this is a whole new ball game for people like me who might be skeptical of a new version, was that in changing Eleanor Shaw from the wife of a senator to the senator herself and eliminating the character of Senator Johnny Eisland, one of the great characters in the original movie, already it's like the rules have changed. And I think that one of the things that the great strengths of that is that it brought into play a very strong feminist streak. And I know that that had a strong appeal to Meryl Streep, and it gave her a lot to work with. There's a couple of lines in the movie that weren't even in the script that Meryl was inspired to come up with on the spot. For example, when she's arguing with all these guys from the multinational corporation that profit from war, at one point in exasperation she says, where are all the men anymore? And this is the new Eleanor Shaw.
Yes, I made a decision. Oh, God, where are all the men anymore? My father, Tyler Prentice, never asked, is this okay? Is this okay? You know what I'm saying, Mark? He just did what needed to be done.
She brings a certain kind of very, very potent vibrancy to everything she does, and she's got tremendous confidence. She's a character who knows that she is very brilliant, and she knows that she has this extraordinary charisma, and she uses these gifts to get her way.
Now that I've seen the film, and as I watch the trailer for the movie, which is in heavy rotation, it seems, on television at this point, it seems that there was a conscious decision not to market the film as a political movie, but more of a sci-fi thriller.
Because the film is set against a political backdrop, specifically a presidential election, because absurdly, coincidentally, Paramount got the movie made just as an election year comes up.
Coincidentally?
Well,
that was a coincidence.
It is. As far as I'm concerned, it's a terrific coincidence. So as fate would have it, the movie comes out now, which is either going to be really good for the movie or not. I'm not sure. We've always been trying to figure out whether or not people are going to be so justifiably distracted by the real election at this point that they may not have time to go to a movie, even if it's a spellbinding, terrifying thriller about a presidential election. So I guess we'll soon find out about that.
A thriller that deals in the world of politics. Did you make a conscious effort to keep your politics out of the movie, or was this a chance for you as a filmmaker to send a message?
You know, it's funny that though this thriller exists smack dab in the middle of the political scene, it's not about politics. It's about characters, and the movie inhabits, you know, hopefully a thought-provoking terrain, but that's not why the movie was made. That's not, you know, what interested me first and foremost. I liked very much the idea when I read the script of a piece that brought this whole world of corporations that profit from war into the thriller terrain, because just the very notion that there are corporations that get, you know, obscenely rich off of war is just, there's something unpleasant about that in the extreme. And it's extraordinary to me that that we haven't focused as a culture yet on, is this okay? It's very interesting terrain to me.
So you had said that you tried to keep your politics out of the film, but since the film plays out against this backdrop, it would seem that this is, in listening to you, very much a message movie, or at least a movie with a very strong message.
Except, you know what, Michelle, it's not a partisan issue. It's a how this country works. But I would have thought this is something that's got to be disturbing on both sides of the aisle, don't you think?
Well, I was just wondering, as a filmmaker, if you were trying to encourage people to think more about that or ask tough questions about that corporate profiteering.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it. What's you know, of major importance is that trying to stimulate that kind of thought doesn't intrude on the psychological thriller journey, which is what it's all about. But one of the things that Richard Condon was really concerned with when he wrote The Manchurian Candidate was, you know, a brainwashed population. And maybe I feel like I'm brainwashed. I pick up the paper, I hear something on the radio about Halliburton, and I go, oh, my God, isn't that awful? But I'm not doing anything about it.
Are you doing
something? Yes, I am. I made a movie.
That's what I was going to ask. Are you doing something about it?
Yes, so I do hope the movie's thought-provoking in that regard. Yes.
Jonathan, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Jonathan Demme is the director of The Manchurian Candidate. The film will be released in theaters tomorrow.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.